Good evening. I'd like you to imagine this, if you can. You're walking down Rye Lane, and as you walk along, there is a man with a placard. On the placard are these words, "Jesus Christ will come again." Can you imagine the picture? Man with a placard. What do you do? Do you think to yourself, I really must talk to this person because that's an interesting piece of theology I haven't thought about for a while. Two, do you carry on walking but with your eyes averted and your heart sinking, think, he must be a real nutcase. Do you, three, or C, cross the road in case he's a member of your church, maybe this church, and he's giving away flyers to next Sunday's carol service? Well, what do you do? You see, it's quite easy to ask the question, maybe like an elephant in the room, that when we think of Advent, which is all about the Lord Jesus Christ coming again, as he came once, we celebrate at Christmas and remember that. He promised he will come again, which we remember in this season of Advent. We live between the two. It's quite easy to ask the question, so what? So what practical difference does it make to me that Jesus will come again? Like lots of people who might cross the road or think, oh, that's a nutcase. We've got more important things to worry about. If that's so, Jesus says we're wrong. Jesus thinks understanding Advent, namely his return to come, is so crucial that in Matthew's gospel, two whole chapters are devoted to Jesus' teaching on it. It's just before Jesus leaves his disciples. He's saying to the core of people who are going to set up the church, this is really, really important to understand. How you live tomorrow should be shaped by this teaching. Would you turn to Matthew chapter 24 and just open it? There's some Bibles either in front of you or behind you. And we're going to look actually at just one verse in context. It's on page 994. Could you open it? If you've got a church Bible, it's page 994 or your own Bible. Matthew 24, verse 42. And once you've got it open, if you've got something with you that is like this, this is very old style. This is a diary. Ever heard of one of these? Really good, actually. Never runs out of battery. But if you haven't got a battery, a mobile, if you haven't got one of these, get out your mobile, which maybe has got a planner, anything which represents what you're doing this week. Have you got anything on you? No? If you have, can you get it out? Yeah, great. Could you put that on the open Bible? Because we're thinking about what you're doing next week, whatever it is meant to be guided, undergirded by what Jesus says. It is that relevant. If you haven't got a diary or a mobile, just imagine putting it on there. Matthew 24, verse 42, Jesus says, therefore keep watch. Saying this is how you should spend Monday and Tuesday and all your days. Live like this, Jesus is saying. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come, is said at the beginning of this passage. It's in nobody's diary when I'm coming again. But live in such a way that you're keeping watch, so that if it's tomorrow, you'll be ready. Understand this, verse 43. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man, that's Jesus, will come at an hour when you do not expect him. He asks, verse 45, who then is the faithful and wise servant? Who then is the faithful and wise servant? That's the simple question that I just want to ask and suggest we all ask this evening. And here's what I understand Jesus is saying. The answer is meant to be you and me. If tomorrow, okay, your tomorrow, whatever you're doing, is like a jigsaw puzzle piece in the big picture of your life, Jesus' teaching here is about that big picture. In other words, God's purpose that he has for you, a job description for you and any disciple to be a faithful and wise servant. Matthew 24, verse 45. I want to look at what is Jesus talking about? What sort of a servant does he mean? And secondly, what does it mean to be faithful and wise? What sort of servant is he talking about? He says that this is a servant for whom it will be good when the master, verse 46, returns and finds the servant doing what the master told him to do. The word for good in the Greek is makarios. That means blessing. The servant will be blessed if he is one whose job description, if you like, is to serve the Lord Jesus. It's the same word Jesus uses in Matthew chapter 5 when he's talking about the Beatitudes. He's saying, blessed will be. The servant is one who is meant to join in with the master's happiness. Someone who is more like cultural reference here, is more like imperfect analogy, Carson in Downton Abbey, as opposed to Manuel in Fawlty Towers. Roger and Ellen are possibly the only ones who understand that latter reference, although Andrew Sachs tragically died, so you know Manuel might be in your consciousness. Somebody who is, in other words, a servant who is a member of the household, somebody who is greatly trusted, greatly loved, someone who has been given a massive responsibility, a trusted servant, who in the first century, when the master went away, looked after all the master's goods and property. You see, Jesus illustrates this with one of the stories in the next chapter. You might know it, about a rich man who divides all his wealth between his three servants. They're all trusted. They're all Carsons. Yeah? They're all people who he really wants to bless, and he goes away. This is the sort of servant. Could you just keep the question up there? This is the faithful and wise servant who is like a steward. They steward everything the master has given them. What are you called to steward? Well, this is a clue to it. You could say, well, I'm not in charge of anything, but that's not true. You're in charge of this. You've got 24 hours tomorrow. You are in charge of how you spend that. Everybody leads at least one person. That's you. Everybody is called to lead their own life. The wise and faithful servant is one whom the master, verse 45, has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time. Whatever is in your diary this week is what you've been put in charge of. The word put in charge of is kurios. That means Lord. Yeah? You are Lord over certain things that you're called to steward, to administer, to look after. They are gifts from the master, who is Jesus Christ himself. And he's inviting us to steward our gifts on his behalf. We're going to do, for 60 seconds, a Radio 4 panel game. It's called Just a Minute. To see what this stewarding might look like, I'm going to ask Rich to speak on a given subject, which is my next week, Okay? For just a minute, without deviation, hesitation, or repetition. Is that okay? What is Rich called to steward this week? Okay, Rich. You have 60 seconds to speak, and I had given you 24 hours warning of this, for just a minute on my next week.
Okay, so we got my sister-in-law down for the next 2 days. I have a Christmas party on Tuesday, small group on Wednesday, out with a friend for a drink on Thursday. Friday, we have friends coming down for the weekend, followed by Sunday back here for Christmas carols. Boom, done. Is that a minute?
Round of applause. Where in that could Rich possibly be able to serve Jesus? He's put you, Rich, he's put each of you in charge. He's given you lordship over this coming week. And you and I have a responsibility. The word literally means the ability to respond. As servants, we choose how we do our job. We could spend the master's resources on ourselves, or we could waste them, or we could invest them and do what the master would have done if he was around. You see, the wise and faithful servant is someone who asks, Jesus, how can I serve you in some way with what's in my diary? In just a minute, you've heard what's in the All Saints diary, yeah, this coming week. Do you remember? Rich told us. Now, the reason we're going carol singing on Tuesday morning and Thursday morning and Wednesday evening, it's not because it's a nice thing to do. It's not to fill up your diary with church stuff. It's because we believe this is a way to steward our time. It's the one week of the year when we could sing at Peckham Rye Station and not thought to be total idiots. It's the one week of the year when you can go carol singing, knock on doors, and say, we're from All Saints, we'd like to wish you a really happy Christmas. And here is a flyer, like we heard from Kenny here. Here's a flyer just to invite you next Sunday, 6 o'clock. We're not asking you for a favour. Oh, would you please come out and help us? No. We're saying, if you think you're not going to be burnt out and you've got some free time and you think this is a really good way to get out the gospel of Jesus this week, if you think this is a good way to be a wise and faithful steward, then join us. Don't join us for a favor. Do you see what I mean? The master isn't looking for a favor when he invites us to be servants. He's inviting us to join in with what he's doing. God is doing a whole lot of stuff, according to his word, in the world. The wheat grows in a field, Jesus gave the analogy, without the farmer doing anything. The farmer's called simply to harvest it. I believe in a God who's doing a lot of things outside this building. He's just looking for servants who will join in and who say, yeah, I've got some time that you have given me and I want to spend it. Thanks very much, Kenny. I don't need that one any longer, but it's kind of you. I want to spend it for your purposes. That's what a servant does. And finally, what does it mean to be a faithful and wise steward? What do they do? If you are wise, you know what is coming. For example, if you have an exam in 6 months, it's wise to prepare for it, yeah? If you're running the London Marathon, who's running the London Marathon? It's April next year. Okay, nobody. So you won't know what to do. I'll tell you, if you're wise, you should be out training. What are you doing here? You should be out training. Wisdom is preparing for what is to come. Faithfulness is doing it, yeah? So here's the thing. The promise is Jesus is going to come back. He's the master who loves us. He is longing for us to share in his blessing, his makarios. He's not an Ofsted inspector. That's the people who visit schools, coming with their index finger and say, you'd better look busy when the boss's coming. The wise and faithful servant knows that he is coming and faithfully does what he says. How can I serve you with the gifts you've given me? Jesus is coming again. And when he does, there is what will be called a final reckoning. It's called a last judgment. It sounds really threatening. In fact, it's a sign of the God who cares. He longs for us to join in with him. Last summer in France, my wife Rutli and I did a project in a team, in the loosest sense of the word team, where we felt totally a spare part, in French, de trop. We were in this so-called team, but just felt utterly useless, partly because our French wasn't as great as it really needed to be. We actually worked pretty hard. No one noticed. No one said merci. It was only 7 days. It wasn't anyone's fault, but it felt like hell. No one gave us a reckoning of what we'd done. Nobody told us what to do. Somebody who really loves you tells you what to do and helps you to do it. Every day, God, by his Spirit, wants to give us a reckoning to encourage us in what is good, to say to our spirits, well done, good and faithful servant. That's like the master does when he returns and congratulates two servants who have invested his property for the master's good. Well done, good and faithful servant. His Holy Spirit is the encourager. He wants to encourage you and me when we're serving him. And have you ever experienced also the Holy Spirit who convicts you when you've kind of gone off track? Before the final reckoning, the final judgment, one of the resources that Jesus has given us to be servants is his Holy Spirit, who encourages and who convicts. It is hell to be in a so-called team when nobody's encouraging you, when nobody's telling you what to do, when nobody's giving you any feedback. Servants of God experience the opposite. They work in a kingdom where every part is needed, where the king cares, so that the final reckoning is a makarios, a blessing. And they've been preparing for that day in step with the Holy Spirit, who convicts us when we go off on the wrong way, and who says, well done, good and faithful servant. The Holy Spirit wants to convict us when we mess up and we've missed out on God's intending blessing. Conviction from Jesus helps me learn for next time. Condemnation from the devil just makes me want to stop and give up so there isn't a next time. Now, the Holy Spirit convicts. Does this make sense? The wise and faithful servant is trained by the Holy Spirit to prepare for the final judgment, to prepare with the end in mind for the King, the Master who loves you and me so much. Goodness, he sent his Son to die and his Holy Spirit every day to convict and encourage. For God's sake, he says, join in with me. For God's sake, join in with me. the best way to prepare for the second advent in the time between the first and the second is every day to ask, Lord, would you please help me to be wise and faithful with my diary? Goodness, I thought I'd lost it for a minute. I'd be in big trouble. Help me this week to be wise and faithful. You're a servant with a responsibility, the ability to respond, to join in with an incredible king. You're a wise and faithful servant who knows there's a reckoning from one who loves you so much. We're going to finish our service this evening by receiving the signs of the one who has come, who has died, and who is risen, and who will come again, the bread and wine of communion. And by receiving it, we receive the Lord. To remind you and me of the extreme significance every day has, that your week has. We're invited to invest as a puzzle piece in the big picture of God's kingdom.